the sun is always shining, we shall look upon his smiling face.
It'll all be
joy in that sweet home.
And happy home in the
beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
Some happy day. Separating every heart will then be satisfied.
In heaven. Savior, for saving an old wretch like me. But if you should reach that city before my time has come, perhaps you'd like to greet me when my shoes off, and I'm going to stroll down them streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among those many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting Holy One to see, and there I'll be through the countless ages. Just look for me at my Jesus' feet. Just look for me.
What a blessing that's going to be on that day. It's a blessing right now just to hang on. It's going to get better. A whole lot better than what it is right now. Whew, man, that's good stuff. I'm thankful to the good Lord for what He does. You can have your troubles. You can have your sorrows. You can have your troubles on every side. But He'll never leave you nor never forsake you. The book of Revelation has a lot of wonderful stories in it. My Bible tells me some things in here that I wish that I could see a little bit better. I look in there and I see the church age. And then I see the rapture. And when I see the rapture, I think all of our troubles is over with. And I like what it says in a couple other spots in the Bible that if I'm not around when that takes place, you know, if I'm not here on the top side of the earth, guess what? The Lord's going to call me from, and I might say, well, I'm going to get a head start on them others, but guess what? He's going to call me and he's going to get us all in one load, okay? Yeah. And in one load, we're going to go up. So from 4 to 19, I like to read about all the things that's happening maybe here on this earth. then I go over into 20 and 21 and when 22. Let me just hurry it through. And I can tell you about some judgments that's going to happen. And we're going to tell you about some end times that's going to happen. I can tell you about some good times that's going to happen upon this earth. I love all that. I really, really do. I love to know about my future. Yeah. I really do. But the Lord doesn't always want us to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's a good time for us to talk about. Man, we can say, walk on streets of gold just like she's just sung about. But there's some times that God still has us right here, right now. We don't need to be jumping ahead because not everybody's on board to go. And until the Lord tells us otherwise, we're to occupy till He comes. We got a job to do. We still got folks to reach out to. In the book of Revelation chapter number 3, one of the hardest things that you'll ever read is the last church age before the Lord comes back. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever read. Why is that? Listen to it. Now, the angel, verse 14 of the third chapter, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. That's some hard times right there. That's the times that we're seeing. We're seeing lukewarm. We wish we was one way or the other. Now, we've said this for many years, many years. Here's where we're at, though. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. May we pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray you speak to hearts. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read of that passage, it kind of reminds me of the news that was out this week. One day, I don't remember what day, we have a man in this country that has a business, and he is now a trillionaire. Do you think the man wants for anything? You know? Many of us kind of get saying, well, you know, a person like that won't want for anything. Won't want for anything. But that's not that case. Many years ago, it would have been an amazing feat for folks to be a millionaire. And yet it's a common thing today. What does that mean? Does that mean because of our dollars got all out of whack, it's easier to become a millionaire? No. It's because we got to the point where we have more and we have more. But don't worry about it. There's folks that don't have anything. But the Bible tells us this we have no need, not one need. We don't need anything. Don't need anything. There's an amazing thing about how God, when Jesus walked this earth, the familiar story is the one that came to Jesus and said, I want eternal life. That's the familiar one. That's the one that we read about, and Jesus said, well, boy, look at here and look at the qualifications you got and all that. All you got to do is give everything you... You see, when you have and you don't want to get rid of. You don't want to get rid of what you got to be able to get even eternal life. You want what you got and eternal life, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You've got to be understanding that when you don't think you need God, guess what? You need God. When you don't realize how much God means in your life, how much He loves you, how much He looks towards your way with favor, how much blessings He particularly sends down your road and it stops off at your house. It's not intended for a blanket thing, even though the Bible tells us He calls it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Friend, God sends blessings your way. Sometimes God sends it through the Word. Sometimes He sends it through answered prayer. Many ways that God sends what He does your way. But many of us don't realize how much we need God. Oh, we like to say, oh, I need Him every hour. Every day I need Him. Oh, I need Him. But I got news for you. Sometimes we don't show that we need Him. Let me just kind of drift over into something. And you don't have to turn. I think most of the folks in this room can probably figure this out with even turning to it. But I want to read something that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. When the Bible talked about Cain, talked with his brother in verses 8, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Boy, it's a famous statement, isn't it? And he said, why, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth. Now God does something to Cain. God does something specific to Cain. This is not, well, it's going to rain on the just and on the unjust, so lost folks all around get rain on them. It's all right when everybody's punished. It's all right. In the military, when somebody do wrong, everybody got punished, okay? No, I didn't like it. I thought that was just unfair. Did I say anything? No. I went ahead and took my punishment just like everybody else did. Why? We want individual guilty ones to be punished, but if we've not done nothing, we just want to be left alone. But you know what the Bible said? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned, but God doesn't put out a blanket and say, oh, we're going to convict us all at the same time. We're going to all do it that way. No, with Cain's example, God called out Cain. Called him out. Singled him out. Said it to him. And here's what he said. Now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And we've read this over and over and over again. Now watch. And Cain said unto him, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And how many of us think about every time God send something our way, every time we get a sickness, every time we get a toe ache, every time we get a toothache, every time our trouble comes our way, you know what? Oh, God's punishing me. Friend, this verse is not made for the weak. My punishment is greater than I can bear. You don't realize how good we got it right now. Oh, we've got it real good. We've got it so good that when we are looking at the blessings, if you're lost without God, if you don't know the free pardon of sin, you're enjoying the grace of God that's all around you, and you got no part nor lot in this matter, but God's blessing on everybody else is rubbing off on you. and you're enjoying the blessings of God. Sometimes you remember going to church when you was lost. Boy, some of them folks would get happy. They'd be singing. They'd be rejoicing. They'd be doing all those kind of things. In fact, it happens around here a bunch of times. And when it happens around here and we rejoice together, and you may be lost. But you know what? There is something good about being in church when folks is happy. There's something good whenever somebody says, guess what? God answered my prayer. You can be lost and enjoy the things that happen in a church. But Cain wasn't happy. No, God put a curse on him. God put a curse on him. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be. And he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What are you going to do when you say something like that? When it got bad for Judas, when he sold out God, when it got bad on him, you know what he did? He went and returned the money that he sold out the Lord for and returned it back to the people he got it from. But then you know what he did? My punishment is greater than I can bear. He went out and hung himself. That ain't just your average toe wake, is it? You see, when you really are under the condemnation of God, things really get bad. Friend, whenever we was lost out in sin and under that condemnation of God, when God began to speak to us when we was lost out in sin, I am just thankful to the good Lord he was able to break my heart. And I'm glad for that convicting power of God that the Holy Spirit delivers a gun barrel straight right to your heart and lets you know that you're the one guilty of that sin. It's just exactly like God speaking to you, just like he spoke to Cain. The Holy Spirit can weave his way around all kinds of number of people to get right straight to your heart. And he said to them, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. This is what Cain said. When you realize God's put a curse on you, you really realize what bad shape you're now in. You're now, you know why Judas killed himself? Condemnation. You know the reason why that Cain is facing these kinds of words right now? Because he is receiving the wrath of God while he's here on this earth. You really don't realize the weight of sin. We look at that shiny part of sin. We look at that shiny part and say, you know what? Hey, everything's going to be all right. You'll make it eventually. You'll get yourself in there. Don't worry, at the end, I'll get saved on my deathbed. You better not wait till then. Oh, everything will be all right. I'll call the preacher and we'll get it all worked out. There's enough things in the Bible that ought to warn you right now about my spirit shall not always strive with man. You ought to be watching out. But listen to it. Cain is facing condemnation, and he realizes that God's hid his face from him. God's kind of kicked him out of the earth, so to speak. Everything, a fugitive and a vagabond. He's in a bad, terrible situation. And here's what God does. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. For many, many years, I've talked about that mark that God put on Cain. But I want you to listen to what that mark really, really means. I don't know if it's possible to think it this way, but just bear with me. When you feel like condemnation is on you so heavy that it was easier to kill yourself than to face up to what you've done, until you get to that level, friend, you really don't understand condemnation. Condemnation is when you really see yourself and you really see God. Murder is a common thing today. When we hear of somebody getting murdered, it's gossip for the most part to folks. Did you hear? Did you hear? They have TV shows dedicated to this murder, that murder, that murder. We serialize and put it, murder, she wrote. Not just one thing I'm throwing out. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, murder's on top of murders all the time. And you know what? How come we don't hear, my punishment is greater than I can bear? How come on death row? How come on death row, which they hardly ever kill anybody, they should do it a little bit more often than they do, but how come on death row, you don't hear them say it, oh, ain't nothing to this thing. Oh, or you'll hear, oh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You see, condemnation don't have to be visible to the world. Condemnation is between your heart and God. You see, you can sin and nobody know it, but God knows it. And when Cain said, oh, this punishment is greater. Oh, I can't handle it. God extended something and set a mark. And when he set that mark, it kind of helped Cain. What do you mean, help Cain? He left the presence of God and went on knowing God granted him a mark. It may sound rough. You may look at that person and say, whoa, there comes Cain. I'm not going to fool. I'm not going to kill. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to avoid him. Friend of mine, God actually give a favor toward Cain. We call it mercy. When God gives you an opportunity, remember Judas? Remember Judas? One of you is going to betray me, is what Jesus said. One of you is going to betray me. And he says, the one that I dip the salt with, one of the ones I hand the spoon to, singled him out by saying, Judas, that thou doest do quickly. Friend of mine, condemnation will come directly between you and God. Preacher don't know it. People don't know it. Oh, I knew they was going to get saved. No, you didn't. Friend of mine, you may feel God's presence, his movement, but that condemnation come between you and God. And Judas had an opportunity. Killed himself. Cain, I'm not going to read it, but you read just a little bit further down your Bible. Cain found a wife. Cain had a family. Oh, it wasn't hunky-dory. I'm not going to say it. Sit there and say, oh, everything was peaches and cream. Friend of mine, he had established, he had a wife, and he had a location where he lived, and he had a family. And if you think, for the most part, you think, well, God just made it easy. No, sir. Condemnation on the outside may not be seen, but condemnation is on the inside. He that is often reproved hardened his heart. if he hardens his heart because of that condemnation, because of that sin, because of that wrong, and it gets your heart harder and harder and harder, the things that used to touch you by God just seems to be like water running off a duck's back. It may be seem like it's harder, but I got news for you. When you get dull to the senses of God and you get dull to that condemnation, friend, you may set up a lifestyle. You may set up a family life, but you're still under the condemnation of God. When revelation says, I know thy works. I know whether you're cold or hot. I wish that you was one way or the other. But you want to straddle that fence. You see, there's a lot of lost folks that has the appearance of being saved folks. Matthew says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Many will come, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devil. In thy name done many wonderful works. But here's what the book says. But then he'll say unto them, depart from me, I never knew ye. Cain could have went to the First Baptist Church of whatever town he lived in. But condemnation never left him unless he repented of his sins. Oh, wait a minute. Cain couldn't repent. God cursed him. Oh, you're wrong, preacher. Cain could not repent. He murdered. He was a murderer. What have you done? What have you done? I may have not have took somebody's life. But friend of mine, my sins equal up to, because whenever I rebelled against God and said no to God, I was a sinner just like Cain. And all of a sudden, God, in his wonderful mercy, sent a little mercy my way. My way. My way. Think about how many times God sends it your way when you don't deserve it. Because none of us deserve God spending any time with us. But because he did, and because that opportunity was there, all Cain was worried about was somebody going to kill him. What he should have been worried about is whenever he died and that life that begins after that. It really don't matter what happens now. It matters what happened later. And whenever I see Judas, it would have been very easy for him to say, boy, why didn't you listen to the warning of God? But because of condemnation, he handled it his way. And that may be what you might be doing today, is handling condemnation your own way. Been a lot of things in life that I've failed to read and follow directions. I get something in a box or something to put it together, and I see those direction books and I ignore them on purpose because I'm smarter than everything that I've ever put together. And I will put those directions aside and look at the parts and figure it out and make the biggest mess I've ever made in my life putting together something simple. Where if I'd have just followed the directions, it would have made a so much simpler process, and we're all guilty of that. Every one of us are guilty of that, thinking we know a better way. And we will spend our life not thanking God for the mercy that comes our way. Comes our way. When we've tried to figure it out our own, and all of a sudden mercy comes in. Mercy was extended to Cain. Mercy was extended to Judas. Friend of mine, I may not fall into them big sinner category, but I'm a sinner the same. And I'm glad mercy was extended toward me. Oh, thank God. Thank God that Jesus knocked on my heart. Because that verse that we didn't get down there too, in that third chapter of Revelation, he talks about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I'm glad God knocks. And you don't have to be in church when God does the knocking. You don't have to be around a preacher. But friend of mine, you got to be around God. And when God speaks to you directly and knocks at your heart's door, if you'll hear His voice and open that door, He'll come in to you. I believe that God lives inside of me today. Not because I'm worthy on the outside. No, sir. But believe me, I believe the Scriptures when He says, "Behold, I come. If you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll abide with you." Friend, that means, it doesn't say, "Oh, I'll stick around today and be gone tomorrow." I'm glad the Lord will come and He will stay with you. He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. All because there is no condemnation where Jesus lives, and He lives within my heart. Am I sorry for what I've done wrong in life? I sure am. Well, what's better than that? His God's wiped them all away. It don't really matter as long as God wipes all my sins away. He didn't look at my righteousness. He looks at what Jesus did. And because of Jesus paying that sin debt, all of my sins are gone. Cain could have got saved. Judas could have got saved. Every lost man on this earth could get saved because the blood of Jesus is sufficient for all men. If you're here today, you're lost without God. There's a conversation going on right now between you and God. And God's telling you and showing you, you failed Him. And your sins is separating between you and your God. And the only way you'll ever be saved is for repenting of your sins. And I ask Jesus to come into your heart and life. Brother Greg, a song. I can't tell you a lot today, but I can tell you about Jesus. Ignorant man in the world, but I'm blessed man because of Jesus. I can't tell you where I'm exactly going to be in heaven because God's got a spot for me up there. I can't tell you how long it's going to be before I get there, but guess what? God's got an appointed time. I can't tell you about being lonely because I'm never alone. He's always with me. And if you're here today, friend, and you're lost, you're missing out on the best friend you'll ever have. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, thank God. Even in my weakness, God don't leave me. Even when I feel bad, God don't leave me. And when it comes time for me to leave this world, I won't leave this world alone. He's going to go with me always, even to the end of the world. My friend, if you're lost, come to know Him in the free pardon of sins. May we stand together. If you need to come and pray, you just come on down here. And I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you. If you need to be saved, you come on. Maybe you need to get your heart right. You just come on. Get things right with God. Do it today.